Blog Talk Radio.
Aquanee, welcome to the Talking Feather. This is Penny Gamble Williams, and it is a beautiful day. And I tell you, the Great Spirit has blessed us with another day to transform our lives, to reach out, to help other people, to share and create, and to live life to the fullest. And I want to say that today is a very special day because Deborah Guerrera, from the organization Turtle Women Rising, is our special guest. And she'll be talking about a gathering that's going to take place in Washington, D.C., coming up soon, October the 8th through the 11th, at the National Mall near the Washington Monument. And this gathering happened 2 years ago, and it is so wonderful that it's coming back. And so many great things will happen on that weekend. But right now, I want to just remind people that on the Talking Feather, we showcase cultural blends of the global village and amplify community voices, spirituality, and the bond of indigenous people with the land and all of the various things that we are about, no matter what continent. Africa, Asia, and this continent, Turtle Island, we are all connected, and we are all related, and it's a good thing. Well, I want to bring up our special guest, Deborah Guerrera. She is a social worker. She is from the Tlingit, Shonamash, and Kalitz Nation, and I want to welcome her right now. Greetings, Deborah, and welcome to the Talking Feather.
Gunalchis, ha-ha. Thank you, Penny. Penny Gamble Williams, it's a pleasure to talk to you again, my sister, and I'm honored and I'm privileged. I'd like to begin this with an introduction of who my people are. My name is Deborah Joan Guerrero. I'm Tlingit and Filipino on my father, Roy Bell Guerrero's side. Snohomish, Cowlitz, French-Canadian, Irish, and German on my beautiful mother, Barbara Woodworth's side. I'm from the Eagle Brown Bear Clan, Juneau, Alaska. My Tlingit name is Gunseek, which means last of the royal princesses. It was my grandmother, Lillian Bells. My grandfather on my father's side was Juan Guerrero from Cebu, Philippines. My grandmother, Lillian Bell, was born and raised in Juneau. My grandmother on my mother's side was Celia Woodworth, and my grandfather was Thomas Kahaley, and I come here today to offer up a prayer song to start this beautiful conversation. I'm on my knees in front of my grandmother's altar in my beautiful home place, surrounded by cedar trees in Enumclaw, Washington, 1 hour south of Seattle, Washington, where I lived for 35 years, and 2 years I came out here. 2 years ago I moved out here and thought, wow, what was I thinking all those years? This prayer song from my heart.
Beautiful, beautiful, aho, Katavatash, thank you, thank you, thank you for all of our relations. Oh, Deborah Guerrero, I just want to let people know that you are a ceremonialist and you have that deep passion for traditional indigenous healing ways, and you're an active member in the Native American Church. And, of course, you are a mother of three grown children, and you are the co-founder of Turtle Women Rising. You know, when we look at where things are today in this world, and we see people who are really hurting and suffering and feeling as though there's nothing. There's no place for them to find that peace within their hearts because of all the things that have happened to them. What do you tell people when you see people in this particular way?
I try to come from a place of encouragement and hope and just let them know that, you know, we all go through. We all go through challenges. None of us ever go through childhood unscathed. And as a social worker, I see it every day. And I see these children and who are unwanted, and they have no one there for them. It breaks my heart. But I try to instill in them the fact that they are strong, powerful indigenous children who will grow up to be strong, powerful leaders. If they stay on this red road, if they find this path, I can plant these seeds in their heads. When I have people who come to me who are in pain, I put myself in their place. And, you know, I've been there. I've been down a lot of these roads. I've been through a lot of life experiences. And it's never easy because I feel their pain. Mm. But I can empathize and I can just try to, I listen to them. You know, I want to hear them. And most times that's all people need is just someone to listen to them. And I don't have advice. In this Native American Church ways, I've learned I don't know anything. You know, I am not in control. Creator is in control of every aspect of my life. And so I pray. I take them to ceremony. If they're willing to come with me to a ceremony, I will take them.
Well, speaking of ceremony, this October, which is actually this week, but next weekend from the 8th through the 11th, the wonderful gathering, Turtle Women Rising, will be there on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., and the 13 Indigenous grandmothers will also be there, as well as the prayer vigil for Mother Earth. that's just an opening for people who are listening so they'll know this, these are some of the things that we're going to be talking about. But talk to us about Turtle Woman Rising and how it got started.
Turtle Woman Rising is, well, to go back to when this beautiful drum opened my heart and my mind and my life to new opportunities and new people, my life changed in 2006 when I went to Carolyn Brandy and Jackie Thomason's Born to Drum Women's Drum Camp in Point Bonita, California, near San Francisco. It was the first time they'd ever held that camp. There was 150 women drummers who had been, women drummers who had been told for years that women don't drum, women can't drum. And these two women opened this camp, and women from all over came from Venezuela. They had taiko drums, they had African drums, there were every kind of drum you can imagine. And a sister that I knew at the time, Susie Hawk, and I drove to California. We took a small water drum that we use in the Native American church ceremonies, and our her staff and other sacred items, and we did workshops down there for those for 3 days. And there was a woman there named Barbara Borden who had this drum, Susie Hawk and I were walking across the campus of this camp, and Barbara Borden said, came up and said, "You got to see my heart drum. You got to see my heart drum." And we said, "Okay, we'll see it. You know, we'll see it later." And all the drums were stored in this big meeting room. And so it was a few hours later, and Susie and I went over there, and we looked around, and we saw this big, huge thing under a beautiful blanket. We went over to it and just looked at it and just were blown away. This drum, it took Barbara Borden and her community 6 years to do fundraising to get the materials to build the drum. They found, I don't know exactly who found the cottonwood tree, but this tree is about 5.5 feet across. This drum frame is that cottonwood tree. 5.5 feet across and about 3 feet high from the ground. And it's covered with cowhide. And cottonwood is the type of tree that they use at the Sundance. I Sundance that in McDermott, Nevada. really sacred wood. Really, so this drum has that medicine, has that power. And by the third day of this camp, Susie Hawk and I had, Susie actually had all the women come down that were coming to our workshop that morning, and Barbara Borden was there, and we were smudging women off, and it was at that time that Barbara Borden, you know, we had been talking to her throughout the weekend, and Barbara Borden actually gifted that drum to Susie Hawk and I. And Susie Hawk used it in her Sundance at her home place in Suquamish, and the drum stayed there for about a year. The following year, the drum, Barbara Borden gifted it to us but said that it could not come, she couldn't bring it up north to Seattle yet because she had some scheduled performances with the drum. The drum, actually I forgot to say too that when they got the materials to make the drum, it took a Native woman 2 years to build the drum. And then Barbara Borden traveled around the Bay Area with the drum for 6 years. I forgot to say that in there, but it's very important, that piece of it.
Right.
And Barbara Borden had scheduled gigs with this drum. So she took it around the Bay Area from the drum camp from July until December, and she brought the drum up here to the Pacific Northwest, and we did a ceremony and fed it and watered it and gave it a name, and her name is Kaya's Heartbeat.
Kaya's Heartbeat.
Kaya's Heartbeat. Kaya is a Coast Salish word which means grandmother.
Mm.
So she received her name in December of 06, and then Susie had the drum at her house and used it for her Sundance ceremonies, and we took the drum out into the community up here a couple different times. And then the following year, I went back to the drum camp, and Susie Hawk didn't come, and the drum didn't come either. But Ellie Painted Crow was at the drum camp the following year in 2007, and she had been brought there as an honorary guest. Ellie Painted Crow served 22 years in the Army and was a staff sergeant in Iraq. And when she was, actually when she first got to the camp, she didn't know if she could, there was like 150 women in 2007 too, and she really didn't know if she could stay there the 3 days. She was kind of ready to leave the first night. She was sitting next to a woman in that room and said that, you know, I don't know, this really isn't, you know, not for me. Yeah, I think I'm going to leave. And just then, Jackie Thomason got up to the microphone and said, I'd like to welcome you ladies and just want you to know that these drums are going to open you up and they're going to make you feel emotions and vibrations and things you've never felt before. And they will change your lives. And so Ellie had been talking to this woman next to her, and after they heard Jackie say that, they both said, well, you know, Ellie looked at her and said, I'm not going anywhere. And the woman said, I'm not going anywhere either. So they stayed. And Ellie came to my workshops, and she really didn't say much. She just kind of sat there and on the bench and just kind of watched and observed. And then it was like the third day of the camp, and it was Sunday, and they had asked Ellie to, I mean, we had talked a little bit, but not much. The third day, they had asked Ellie to get up and speak because she was the honorary guest. And so she got up in front of that room of 150 women, and she started talking about how her soldiers were being raped by their superiors, and nothing happened, and how a couple of women had come forth. They had the courage to come forth because, you know, most of the time women don't tell, especially if it's your superior, you know.
Right.
Who's violating you. And so she heard these women came to her and they told their stories. And she went to her commander. And her commander said, well, maybe you should tell your soldiers to walk with their backs to the wall. And so she was livid. She went back to these women and said, I'm not stopping there. And then she went to the commander above that commander and told this commander, and he said, well, maybe you could get statements that might help. So she went back to these women and told them to write statements, and then more women came forward and wrote statements. And she actually, this was before they were being deployed to Iraq. And so she actually had a busload. She had gotten a bus, and she had about 15 women. And some of the women.
Can you speak a little bit into the phone?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Great.
So she had these women, and some of them did not want to get on the bus. And so she told them, you get on that bus. You know, we're going to Iraq. Where do you think they're going to put you? So they got on the bus, and she took them to that commander's office. And from what I gathered in this story, in 3 months, 8 commanders had been relieved from their positions. And so, you know, she told this story. And then she talked about when she was got back from Iraq. I mean, she went through a lot in Iraq. She faced a lot of racism. You know, she went through a lot. And she I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. You know, one of the things that's so important, and as we talk about Ellie Painted Crow, her dedication and her path to get the story out about what had happened not only to her but to all these women who were serving. And trying to find a way to help people heal. And so, you know, when you, as you tell this story and we start looking at the organization, bringing people together, Futuro Women Rising, there's also another organization that have brought women together and men who are supporting the women. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because it all ties in together in terms of why this gathering is going to happen here in Washington, D.C.
Well, actually, you know, I just I just wanted to say that when she got out of Iraq, she was really angry, and she went in front of the White House with a little hand drum. She didn't know very many songs, and she stood there. She went there for 7 days. Every day she went back and stood in front of the White House, and she, you know, it was at that time that she had this vision, you know, and what if there were 1 million drums here? They would have to hear it, and they would have to feel this vibration of this beautiful heartbeat, this drum.
Yes.
And so that's where the vision came from. And she shared that day in that room of 150 women. And then it was then, those are the words that stuck in my head at that camp in 2007. And so it was after that, you know, that I was just standing in the aisle listening to her story, just crying my eyes out, and she came over to me and hugged me, and, you know, we started talking, and I asked her, you know, later in the day, I said, you know, are you doing this work or what? And she said, well, you know, not really. I haven't really done anything much because when I talk about it, people look at me like I'm crazy. And I said, I think it sounds powerful. It just, you know, touched, moved, and inspired me. So it really, you know, we started talking. And I worked at the University of Washington in Seattle. And she lived in Merced, Washington. We had telephone conversations after that camp. And that is how Turtle Women Rising started, because we had these conversations and we came up with the name through one of her dreams. Neither one of us even remember how we came up with the name Turtle Women Rising, to tell you the truth. And then we started gathering other women to try to help us, you know, see if women would be interested, and we started working and organizing. Neither one of us had ever done anything like that before. Carolyn Brandy came on board, and Jackie Thomason, and other women, you know, from this area and from different areas started to help us. Anyway, that's how Turtle Women Rising started, to answer that first question. And somewhere along there, someone said, well, maybe you should drum for 24 hours a day. We're like, okay. So when all we knew was we were, you know, we worked on this for months, and then I quit my job at the University of Washington and moved down to Merced. And other things happened. I'm not going to go into all that, but we, because it was surrounding one of my family members, I had to come back up here. But anyway, the drum was driven to Washington, D.C. We, Ellie and her aunt and another veteran, Mary Jones, who's a Navajo from Flagstaff, Arizona, who's, you know, a survivor of this war, too. They drove that drum, and I flew over there. And we sat up for those 4 days. We did not leave the site because it's ceremony. And we started at sunrise on the 10th. The world healer, Don Alfredo Safir Yonis, also helped us. He heard about our work. He retired from the World Bank after 30 years, and he heard about our work. He started the Zambling Institute of Human Transformation. And he was just an incredible being who heard about our work and donated $5,000 and asked us to bring youth. And so we did. And he asked if permission to build a Mayan fireplace at sunrise on that first morning. And that's how it started. And then the drum started. And we went 24 hours a day. And, you know, neither one of us, Ellie and myself and another woman, Imani White, who Ellie had met 3 days before that gathering, you know, Ellie said, Deb, I found somebody that's going to be our drum leader. I said, right on, go. You know, so there we were, and there was Imani, and it was absolutely divine energy. It was absolutely perfect.
Well, I have to say, Deborah, that Thunder and I, we were there, and it was an extraordinary experience to sit at that drum and to play that drum and to sing. The energy, just the vibration alone, that drum just resonated throughout. It was a beautiful, beautiful day, and there were so many people there who came to hear the drum, to sit and play the drum, and just to be a part of it.
Exactly. It was absolutely just beautiful. It was divine. There was no other word. It was so spirit-led. Everything, that's how we do this organization. It is all spirit-led. This year we're combining with this beautiful prayer vigil that has been taking place there for 17 years.
Right.
And after the gathering the first time in 2008, I had to go back home. I didn't drive to D.C. because my favorite cousin in the whole wide world had been diagnosed with liver cancer. And
yes.
He had a very short time. And so I flew back. There was a beautiful woman named Elena who donated frequent flyer miles tickets. She lives in the Bay Area, too. And she donated her ticket so that I could fly over there and fly back, because Ellie put it on the website. Because after all that planning for all those months, I found out about my cousin Bradley Guerrero, and I didn't even know if I was going to go, because, you know, that's my family. And Bradley and I got clean and sober together almost 14 years ago, and there he was, you know, just really so that's why I flew over there, and I had to fly back, and they stayed for the prayer vigil, which took place. And Ellie, it was amazing. I've seen pictures from it. So this year I'm really excited, because to me, you know, this vision they've all taken on, you know, a life of their own through spirit, and it's all perfect.
It is. I have to say that it is, because the prayer vigil for the earth, I mean, it is such an extraordinary gathering in itself. And to have Turtle Woman Rising and the prayer vigil, and also to have the 13 indigenous grandmothers there.
Right. Well, I mean, they came about because Ellie lives an hour from Sonora, California. And so while we were planning in 2008 to do this first gathering, Ellie said, well, you know, there's these grandmothers that they're over here. They're about an hour away in Sonora. I think it's through the Center for Sacred Studies or something. She wrote them a letter and asked if they would be willing to come to Washington, D.C. in this Stand for Peace. And they said yes. So we hosted them. So we were hustling and trying to raise funds, you know, and I'm like Ellie's agent the first year. She had to do is show up and talk. I worked at the university, and I'm really involved in the Native community up here, and so I was booking Ellie gigs up here. And she would fly up, and I told people $1,500 to hear her speak, you know, because she has an incredible story.
She does.
And so that's how we raised the money for it. And we don't even know now how we did that. And then Alfredo, the donations, you know, we had a website and just all the people, you know, none of us ever do anything alone, ever, 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 ever. So, you know, it's mind-blowing to me, you know, how incredibly good Creator is to us and to, you know, this cause.
You know, and bringing together like-minded people who are on that vibration and on that level, some of the things can splay out from that, and that's exactly what has happened. So
right.
We are absolutely looking forward to being there at the gathering again. You know,
can I answer the second question? What was the other question you asked?
Let's see.
I'm telling you, I have to be at the airport at 4:30 in the morning, and I am not even packed. So I'm kind of just, you know, I'm just
I know. That's right. You're heading this way soon.
Yeah.
One of the things that I did want to say, first of all, is we have to look at why this gathering is important. Because we're talking about peace. We're talking about inner peace. We're talking about bringing to the attention the effect that the wars have had on everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone here in the country, on this continent, actually the whole world. And then when you think about the soldiers and you think about the families, a healing is needed. And this gathering, to me, brings that energy forth so people can start to feel the healing. And that,
exactly. And to me, it starts with that healing. And anyone who comes to this is called by the medicine. Every one of us, you know, the medicine calls you when you're ready. And I trust that. I trust this medicine with my life.
Yeah.
And these, you know, it's about educating communities about the 106,000 soldiers that are returning very soon. And there are going to be, you know, rises in suicide and domestic violence and alcoholism. And, you know, it's just going to be absolutely horrendous. So we need to be ready. We need to be open and willing to help them with, you know, try to come back here. You know, I've gone to some veterans gatherings with Ellie. I'm not a vet, but I'm an ally. And in these veterans gatherings, I met some amazing people. There was a Welcome Home project that happened in Buckhorn Springs. And these beautiful people, Kim and Bill, put this on. And Michael Mead was one of the main people involved. And we were in this room for like 5 days. We were in this beautiful surroundings, and everything was videotaped. You know, the minute you get out of your car, they've got this camera on you, and like, whoa, what is this? And it wasn't until later that we realized, you know, that this is really important work. These people have served this country. You know, they sacrificed their lives, and their families have been through, you know, this destruction that has happened to this person, their loved one. And this person comes back to them and is changed forever. And they have to adjust to that change. And we sat in that room and we wrote stories, wrote poetry, sang songs, we cried, we laughed, it was an amazing experience. And then on the fifth day, it was Memorial Day, and they took us in charter buses into Ashland, Oregon, which was right down the road. And we performed our poetry and our songs and stories in front of the communities of Medford and Ashland, Oregon. And it was so powerful. And it's actually being made into a movie. So I just, you know, there's people out there that really understand what is necessary to try to make a difference, try to say, you know, to help these soldiers and these veterans and military personnel, their families. And, you know, one life touches so many, and so many lives touch ours. So it's you know, it goes beyond, prayer. We have to take action. We have to do something with that person. There was an article in the newspaper here, and there was also something on the television. I don't watch much television, but I was going through it one night to look for a news story, and I saw this story about how veterans have come back, and one person, this man, started taking them to dive under the water where it's quiet. And this diving experience helped so many of them that, you know, this guy thought, wow, you know. So that's one way to help them with their healing, you know, to take them into these atmospheres where it's just quiet. Because I know the first time I went to Ellie's house, too, when I moved down there to Merced from here, she never had any music on in the house. You know, there was no TV, there was no music. It was just really quiet. Mm. And to me, I was, you know, I'm used to having music around, you know, some kind of music, something, you know, sound. I raised three children, so, you know, I'm used to it.
Right.
And so I just observed and, you know, I felt comfortable, but I was very observant and very aware. You know, and then she said she doesn't watch TV. She doesn't listen to music, you know, when she's in her house much. So, you know. But we have to do something to help them. So this is going to be like a healing village is how I envision it. And I'm really excited because we've been working with some phenomenal people from the East Coast. We've had conference calls with these amazing people who've put on this prayer vigil for all these years. And it's, you know, we can put everything down on paper, but when it comes down to it, you know, it's just going to evolve perfectly through spirit. And, you know, all the amazing efforts of these people who've spent tireless years and tons of energy and effort and just out of the sincerity of their hearts and their souls, you know, the beauty that they walk in, you know, they share that every year for all these years. It's so powerful.
I know.
So,
and people.
So
people,
generous.
People really look forward to it. It helps. It's something that for many, it sustains them, especially knowing that it's there on that particular ground.
Exactly.
And you just have to know, it's like a knowing that the prayers and the fact that there are people from all walks of life who come and share, you know, the African drums that are played and the languages that are spoken and the, excuse me, sacred songs that are sung and the fire that burns and the ceremonies that happen. I mean, this is what we are all about. And this is what brings that vibration, that energy, and it just sort of radiates throughout during that weekend. And, of course, you know, in life, those vibrations keep going and going. So these are the things, these are the actions that we have to have in order for the negative things that you know we're constantly having to balance and protect ourselves from. I mean, this is what we need. Ceremony.
Soul food. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Food for the soul.
It is food for the soul, for sure.
And it's also like a rebirth, you know, when we come out of these ceremonies, it is. It's like a rebirth. You come out of Sweat Lodge, I'm like reborn. You know, we're in our mother's womb. And we're in there in that comfort, in that compassionate place, you know, that place of beauty and love and acceptance, you know. It's not like that for everyone, but, you know, this birth cycle that's so symbolic in our ceremonies. And so this healing village is a rebirth. And also we're going to be honoring John Lennon for his work, his peace work. This is a stand for peace. This is a prayer for peace on earth. You know, people always say that peace on earth, and then there's war, you know, for 10 years now. It's like, I don't know.
I know. It's the complications of life, and you wonder why these things have to happen. But regardless of that, it's there, and it's up to us to find that peace within so we can share that energy when we're around other people and we talk with people and they see that, they feel, you know, the peace that comes from within ourselves.
And the passion and the compassion.
Absolutely, absolutely. Talk about some of the activities that will take place for those 4 days.
Whoa, there's so much. I know that the peace vigil has been going on. I believe it was for 33 or 36 hours usually, but we go 4 days. We go from sunrise to, I believe it's 3:33 on the 11th.
Okay.
When the drum will stop. Mm-hmm. There's going to be Sufis. There's every religion, every person's religion is accepted. You know, we are going to have the grandmothers. They're coming in, I believe, the night of the 8th, and they'll be there on the 9th. And this time they're going to be praying with the soldiers. They're going to be, you know, they're not really going to be, I don't believe they're going to be up there sitting so that everyone can, you know, look at them and take pictures and sing to them, whatever. They're going to be out and about and just people, you know, approaching them for prayer, healing. So that, and they love that, you know. The feedback from them is that they love the idea of that. And so then there's going to be drummers from all over. I believe there's 13 drums. Kaya and another woman, Jane Early, made a drum and drove it to D.C. the first time in 2008. Her drum's going to be there. And, you know, these two drums I know are open to anyone. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the other drums yet, you know. And like
right.
I said, I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything that's going to take place because it's, you know, I wasn't there before. But there's a lot of information on the website for the prayer vigil and for Turtle Woman Rising about all the people that are coming. We've had conference calls on Tuesday nights, and there's a lot of activity. John Lennon's cake, we're going to have a cake for him on the 9th. We're going to light that cake at, I believe, at 8:45 p.m., which is going to be the same time that Yoko Ono is lighting the John Lennon Tower of Peace in Iceland.
Oh, right.
Ellie wrote her a letter, and actually her people responded twice, saying that she would love to come, but she's going to be in Iceland lighting the John Lennon Peace Tower. So now she sends her blessings. And,
beautiful.
And so, you know, it's just beyond anything that I could have comprehended a few years ago.
And like you said, it's all spirit-led, and when you follow spirit, you just never know where you will land.
But we're always in the right place at the right time, no matter where
we
are in our lives.
That's for sure. Can you give a website for people who are listening so they can get the information for Women Rising?
TurtleWomenRising.com. We're also on Facebook and YouTube. And the prayer vigil is prayervigil.com or .org, I believe.
Right. You know, when we think about this particular gathering and we think about ourselves and our families and our communities, we have to think about Mother Earth, this beautiful Earth that provides us with everything. And, of course, this is part of the prayer. It's what the prayer vigil has been talking about for all the years that they've been doing this. And this is something that we all have to really keep close to our hearts. And when we talk about the heart, we talk about the drums. We're talking about the heartbeat of life. And what feeds us. So that's another reason for people to understand the importance of connecting on this particular weekend. And even if you can't be there, just to hold that, hold the people in your hearts and in your spirit, and be a part of it, no matter where you are.
We have people here, really amazing people here. We have people all over and drumming in solidarity, too, with this prayer vigil, with this gathering with Turtle Women Rising. There's going to be people here at in Washington State, beautiful friends of mine, Brian Frasina and Pat Rasmussen, Dino Atkins, and a lot of people that I know, Rob Satayakam, and people here, really, you know, strong, powerful Native leaders in Olympia, Washington, at the Capitol. Well, it's at Heritage Park near the Capitol here. And, you know, they joined together in 2008 and drummed in solidarity with us. And this year we tried to get, you know, grants for them. And Ellie sent out 360 letters to tribes. And I think we got, you know, maybe $500 or $600.
And then we
wrote 4 grants to local tribes here and also to this other organization, Native organization here, and none of them responded. And I told Ellie, well, don't worry about it. You know, we're going to look back at this when we're standing there in our 70s and there's a million drums in D.C. and we're going to say, remember when they wouldn't even throw us a $22 for a shirt on the website? And now look at them, they're throwing a, you know, throwing buckets full of money at us to do this. And, you know, it's kind of like that. You know, you just have to think about it and just go forward. You know, it's all going to be, everything's going to be taken care of. I know the first time we did this, we were worried about food. We were worried about, you know, how are we going to do all this? We had no clue. Neither one of us had ever done anything like that before, as I said previously. So, you know, we just have to trust, have that love, that faith, that hope, and that charity that we pray about in the Native American Church, you know, these ceremonies. Just go with that. Trust the earth, trust the power. You know?
That's for sure. Well, you know what? What I'd like for you to also talk about, well, I want to give some more information about the prayer vigil for the earth and kind of reiterate this, that this is an annual prayer vigil for the earth. As we said earlier, this is the 18th year, and it is really this, it's been like a spiritual place, a sacred place that's created to bring people together. The teepees are there, they're visible, and people can pray and really get in touch and really open their hearts for peace and for Mother Earth.
For healing.
Yeah. So I want to ask you to give us a closing thought because we're going to continue the show. There's some music that we're going to play that will kind of bring, you know, this whole program together, sort of completing this circle. Give us some closing thoughts, some things to walk away with and to hold on to.
My heart is full of gratitude and love, and I'm really honored and privileged to speak to you today to share this vision of Ellie Paney Crow and the work and passion of everyone who's ever contributed to this beautiful prayer vigil in D.C. and the Turtle Woman Rising. And I just feel like everyone who's meant to be there will be there. And we'll be praying for the universe, every single living spiritual thing in the universe. And no one, you know, I'm praying that everyone will feel that energy, that vibration will be around the earth and wherever the drums are, you know, that they connect people through their hearts with that gold thread that ties one heart to the next and completes that sacred circle. It has no beginning and no end, this holy hoop. So I'm grateful for this red road and for you today, for your life, and for Thunder, too. I just have to close my eyes, and I'm right there. And hearing the music and the drum and, you know, being with the grandmothers in these prayers. So, and this time it's really special with the focus being on healing and welcoming veterans and saying thank you for the sacrifice. And thank you, Creator, for the beauty we walk in every single day, the air, the earth, this fire, this water.
I so appreciate your words. And I look forward to seeing you and Ellie Painted Crow and Imani White, all of the people that will be there, to give their hearts and their prayers to
and
this
hugs.
Effort.
And hugs.
Lots of hugs.
Penny,
lots of hugs.
Hugs.
Hugs. I remember the hawk. Remember the hawk?
Oh, absolutely. Do you know we have a woman here at Muckleshoot Indian Tribe. Her name is Catherine Arquette. She is making us a beautiful women's warrior staff. Ellie asked permission from the grandmothers to build a warrior staff. This woman, I went to her house the other day. She's working on a huge eagle. I'm bringing an eagle staff because the hawk staff is not finished. She has a whole hawk that she's trying to figure out how to put it on this staff for us, for Turtle Woman Rising. But I'm supposed to receive the eagle today so that I can travel with it in the morning. I don't know how I'm going to get on that airplane, but I'm just going to pray about it, and it's already done.
I tell
you. You'll see it over there.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, I have something that I wrote, and if you can just stay on while this is played,
sure.
I'm dedicating this prayer and these words and this song to everyone. Thank you again, Deborah, and we'll
talk soon.
Thank
you so much. Good night, Ho-ho.
Tavatash. Wolish.
To the Creator, as we awakened from the indigo sky of dreams, illuminated by the stars, and step into the light of dawn, rise up, be lifted in prayer as the sun rises in the east. Receive the gift that the east brings forth every day. Let us open our hearts and accept energy for the renewal of life, the warmth of spirit, trust, beauty, vision, truth, hope for all humanity. Rise up as the sun rises from the east. Be joyful, share these gifts with the people in our lives and those who we don't know. Rise up like the sun rises in the east. Let us lift our voices up to the Creator. Resist those who speak of war and destruction. Talk about peace, only peace. Walk the labyrinth of peace. Resist war. Speak up. Speak out. Fear not. Be courageous. Stand strong in the indigo light of divine love. Rise up like the sun rises in the east. Aquani.
our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve this earth woman mother for ancestors yet to come. We are the land. This is dedicated to our relatives thousands of years ago and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492. To those who held on to their homeland and to those that are extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today, to the ones who survived the relocation and the ones who died along the way, to those that carried on traditions and lived strong among their people, to those who left their communities by force or by choice, and through generations no longer know who they are, to those who search and never find, to those who turn away the so-called non-acceptance, to those that bring us together and those living outside, keeping touch, a voice for many. To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people, to those that give up and those who do not care, to those who abuse themselves and others, and those who revive again, to those who are mentally, physically, or spiritually incapable by accident or by birth, to those who seek strength in our spirituality and ways of life, and those who exploit it, even ourselves, our own, to those who fall for the lies and join the dividing lines that keep us fighting amongst each other, to the outsiders that step in, good or bad, and those of us that we don't know better, to the leaders and prisoners of war, politics, crime, race, and religion, innocent or guilty, to the young, the old, the living, and the dead, to our brothers and sisters and all living things across this earth woman and her beauty, we've destroyed, and we've denied the honor that creation has given each individual, the truth that is in our hearts, all my relations.